We're touring the book of Ecclesiastes, and the good news is we're only doing a few verses tonight. So, verses 13 to 18, the end of chapter 9. It's a story, a couple of proverbs after the story, a couple of statements, reflections. We need to understand how it is that wisdom is valuable, and also how wisdom is treated by people in this world. We need to understand how to take the long view, knowing the value of wisdom, despite what happens in this world. This is the word of God. Listen carefully, verse 13. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. The precious word of the living and the true God. We're going back to that word that we saw again and again in chapter 7. It's the word better. We're going to see tonight that wisdom is better than strength. We're learning tonight about the example of wisdom in verses 13 to 15. We're learning about the value of wisdom in verses 16 to 18. And then we're going to spend a little time reflecting on God's wisdom. So the example of wisdom, the value of wisdom, and God's wisdom. But we need to understand that this is something that is being commended by this writer of Ecclesiastes. He's saying something very positive. In fact, it's an elaboration of something that he said in chapter 7 in verse 19, when he said, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. It's as if this story is an elaboration on that theme. The idea that wisdom is something that is great. He's very excited about it. He's saying something that he rarely says in the book of Ecclesiastes. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. Now maybe, after you heard some of the things that he said about wisdom, you began to get maybe a little bit cynical about wisdom. If even wisdom results in vanity, if I can't plumb the depths of God's wisdom, what is the point? But wisdom has been held out as something that is valuable and good in the book of Ecclesiastes. Also, the gracious gifts of God have been held out as a means by which you can understand his goodness. And so we're seeing positive statements in the book of Ecclesiastes, and they stand out for us because we live in a fallen world, and we recognize that these statements about wisdom, these statements about God's goodness and grace, are important for us to cling on to. So when he says that this seemed great to him, let's pay attention. The story is a bit surprising. We don't know where the story actually comes from in history. He is clearly presenting it as something that happened in history. But it's actually very helpful to us that we don't know the situation, because it accents the point that he's made. This poor wise man has been forgotten. The story is rather difficult to tie to a particular event because this poor wise man has been forgotten. That's something that we need to recognize. And as we begin to exercise wisdom, as we ask God for wisdom in this fallen world, we might get discouraged when we see it being despised. And so we need even more to understand what it is that's great about this story? What is that's better about wisdom than strength? What is it anyway? There was a little city and few men within it. Already you see they're the underdog. It's a very small city and there's few people in it. But for some reason, this great king decides that he wants to engage in siege warfare against this city. He's going to besiege it. He's going to build bulwarks against it. He's going to create a situation where people are basically on the inside trapped. They're trapped on the inside. What are they going to do? They're a little city against a very great king. He has military power. And he's attacking them. But in this city, there was found this one man. He was poor, but he was wise. And we're not told how, but he had wisdom, and by this wisdom, by means of it, he delivered the city. It's an important thing to understand. What this wise man did was not for himself. It was for the city. That's an important feature of this story. It's an important thing to recognize. What this wise person did was for the sake of the city. Not for the sake of his own reputation. It didn't benefit him in that regard. But he, through his wisdom, delivered the city. This is the value of wisdom. It was able to bring deliverance to the city. And of course, as we've expected from the book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to have a reflection on how things work in this fallen world. And the response to this poor wise man and his wisdom that delivered the city is to forget about it. No man remembered that same poor man. He was completely forgotten. This is almost worse than being despised, because it's as if people just simply move on. We don't know what he did. We don't know what he said. We don't know how it was done. We don't know the poor wise man. We don't know the nature of this historical situation, who seems to be reflecting on a situation. There are situations like it in the Bible. There are situations like it in history. But everyone forgets this poor wise man. The example of wisdom. And so you need to hear from the Word of God that wisdom is better than strength. Because even though the great king with his siege warfare was defeated, even though wisdom was better in that regard, there's something else that kind of sits in our craw about this story. The poor wise man is forgotten. He ought to be acknowledged. He ought to be held up. He ought to be given the equivalent of a Nobel Prize or something. He ought to be given some sort of recognition, shouldn't he? He delivered the city. Shouldn't the city recognize his actions? And so verse 16 tells us something that we need to hear at this point, that wisdom is better than strength. Even despite the fact that he has been forgotten, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Let that sink in. Wisdom is better than earthly power. Wisdom, even when it's forgotten. And then he goes on and reflects. He says, nevertheless, the man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. How wisdom is treated, even by those who receive the benefits of it. The poor man's wisdom is despised. He is forgotten. His action is forgotten, and his words are not heard. How is the city delivered? I don't know. Something happened. Generations later, no one knows. No one knows. You ever feel that way serving the Lord in the local church, in the fallen world, week after week, accessing God's wisdom. You hear about heaven and earth. You hear about eternal things. You hear about the sovereignty of God. You hear about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You hear about death being defeated. You hear about a shepherd 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. You hear the greatest news that people can possibly hear. And yet for a lot of people, it seems to be just another voice in a whole series of voices that they are listening to. And they kind of see them all the same. It's said that when missionaries first started going to Japan, that they would go there and the people would just assimilate Christianity into their understanding of the religions. Just another one. That's not the message of the gospel. That's not the message of the one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But that message is many times not heard. Why is that? And then we read in verse 17 that the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. This is another reflection on strength, but it's a different type of strength. It's the strength of volume, of physical energy of one's voice, of passion and loud speech. People become louder when they want to make their point, when they want to say something with emphasis, and they want people to listen. They get louder. But the wise man is heard in quiet. Because in order to understand the wise man, you have to understand a different way of looking at life. You need to be able to look at life from the perspective of wisdom. And that takes reflection. It takes patience. It takes trying to understand and grapple with the realities of a world that's being explained to us in the book of Ecclesiastes as being quite confusing at times. It's easy to become loud. And rulers often become loud. So we're talking about strength and we're talking about volume. And then verse 18 talks about weapons of war. You know the pattern. Strength, volume among rulers, and weapons of war. That's the pattern of earthly power. That's the way that people seek earthly power. That's the way it's expressed in this fallen world. But wisdom operates differently. We're reading that it's better than strength. Even when the poor man's wisdom is despised, and the words of wise men are heard in quiet. They're heard. Even when the wise man is speaking quietly. And wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Do you remember what it said in the prophet Isaiah, when we were reading through, and it was, we were getting to the places where they were talking about who you know as the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Isaiah 11, for example, and there shall come forth a root, a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Wisdom and understanding. The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And then we turn to Isaiah 52 and we understand that this is the Lord Jesus Christ who's being declared here. In fact, it's quoted in Matthew 12. We have this very same passage quoted of Jesus Christ. And how is it that he's described? He has wisdom from the Holy Spirit. He could lift his voice and call, and angels would come. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And then we read this. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't come with great volume. And yet, this one who has the Holy Spirit, this one who comes in this different way, we're told, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. The Lord Jesus Christ comes as one who is able to fan into flames the faith and the confidence of those who are brokenhearted, of those who are mourning, those who are weak. Jesus Christ comes in a way that is completely different than the pattern of earthly power. They set up siege stations around a city to capture it. They deal in strength. They deal in volume. They deal in weapons of war. But the Lord Jesus Christ came differently. He came with a spirit of wisdom and understanding, and he came in such a quiet way. Maybe the pathway of the arrival of Jesus Christ is instructive to us as we consider being the body of Christ in a world that worships earthly power. Maybe we need to pay attention to what happens from the life of Jesus Christ. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Another better statement, you see the contrast. It's between wisdom and military might. Wisdom is better. You're being told that in the Word of God. You can confidently rest in that fact. Wisdom is better than earthly might. The quietness of wisdom that is heard is better than the loud yelling of rulers. In fact, wisdom is better than strength, even when it is despised. And you see that. You see that in the earthly life of Jesus Christ, don't we? We see that in the way the Lord Jesus Christ comes. He is not the one who has the power in terms of his relationship to the Roman government, in his relationship to the teachers of the law. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ answers them in wisdom. He speaks to Pilate, and his concern with Pilate is over Pilate's understanding of who he is. He's talking to one who thinks he has the power to cause Jesus Christ to be crucified, and in one level, he does. But it's power that has been given Pilate from above. And the words of Jesus Christ are designed to help Pilate see who he is. In the way that the Lord Jesus Christ explained what was going to happen when he went to Jerusalem again and again to his disciples, he was unpacking for them what was going to happen days ahead of time, months ahead of time, and they couldn't understand it. In fact, the Bible says that the rulers of this age didn't understand it either. You know, the way the Lord Jesus Christ came, it was a way that was governed by the wisdom of God. It was a way that he came that was different than the patterns of earthly power. And so the Bible, reflecting on this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, puts it this way. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You see the contrast. It's the contrast between the wisdom that this world adopts and the wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom that is governed by God. God's wisdom. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Did you see that? The despised things God has chosen. God has chosen to demonstrate his wisdom. How is his wisdom demonstrated? The preaching of the cross. The foolishness of preaching. The quiet, ordinary preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unto the world. Not enough strength. Not enough noise. I don't understand. What are you talking about? And if you go to a place where people are sharing the gospel with people on the street, you will begin to hear the volume of people's voices. You will begin to hear them increase the volume as they talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seeking by strength of force to make their statements against the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God that seems to be foolishness to man. It was foolishness to the religious leaders as well. In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talks about the wisdom of God that is in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's an amazing statement. They did not understand the wisdom of God in the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross. And how was he treated on the cross, by the way? The Lord Jesus Christ. Mocked, viewed as weak and shameful. Perhaps there's something in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ arrived and lived, and the wisdom of God expressed in the life of Jesus Christ that can help us to understand the relationship of wisdom of different kinds. The book of James puts it this way. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show of the good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This is the pathway. In a world that despises wisdom, to seek the wisdom that comes from above. Now, we have to wrestle with the last part of verse 18, because this seems to be putting a damper on the whole thing. Because if one sinner can destroy much good, even though wisdom is better than weapons of war, how can we have confidence in wisdom? And of course, you know the activity of Judas. You know how the activity of Judas fed in to the power mentality of the religious leaders. You know how the activity of Judas fed into the power mentality of the religious leaders and those who conspired against Jesus Christ that are reflected upon in Acts 4. You know that there was a conspiracy, a plotting against the Lord Jesus Christ, like we read about in Psalm 2. But you also know that activity was ultimately not the final destruction of good, but the way that good was actually walked into this fallen world. Through an action that the devil could not follow because he had earthly wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ brought a heavenly inheritance to his people. The wisdom of God is stronger than man's wisdom. It is mightier. We need to understand that we live in a place where people can, through their sinful actions, destroy lots of beneficial work that's been done. Some of you have encountered this. You have seen it in our denomination, in your local church, in your family. You've seen it in various places in history. You've seen it in the news. You've seen it in the history of redemption. But never fear. Because the way that the Lord Jesus Christ came, the wise way, was designed specifically to fan into flames the faith of people who were like wicks that were about to go out. The Lord Jesus Christ came in a way that surprised those who sought and relished earthly power. He came in a way that ultimately would bring about the activity of God's people being able to follow him in this way. Exhibiting in the midst of a fallen world that despises wisdom, that seeks strength, a wisdom that is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That, brothers and sisters, is the way that the world is won. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, building wisdom in his people.